Well, you pet stylist, you found the Groom Pod. Welcome to our virtual salon. My name is Susie, and I'm your host. I'm a mobile groomer from Seattle, Washington, and anyone who knows me will tell you I love to talk, especially about my job. One of my favorite people to talk to is my friend and mentor and co-star of the show, Miss Barbara Bird.
Hello, groomers. Hey, Susie, Happy New Year. Here we go.
Yes, I'm really excited for this really awesome new year. Welcome to episode 237 of the Groom Pod, recorded on January 5th, 2020 in Snohomish, Washington, and freezing cold Tucson, Arizona. This week, we're going to talk about an old English sheepdog question from Australia. We're going to learn about grooming green and shopping for big dollar items if we have time. So, Barbara, I got to tell you about the absorber towels because I am so impressed with these. I'm stupid. I'm kicking myself in the head because I thought they were anything like a moisture magnet. They are not anything like a moisture magnet.
I'm really glad to hear you say that because I tried to get that across to you like 4 years ago.
Yes.
And you didn't hear it because you were so sure that the moisture magnet was the best absorbent of them all without ever testing the other. Yeah.
I'm super duper excited about my New Year's resolution is to keep my ears open and my mouth shut and take people's advice, even if I don't think it's going to work, and give it a try. So that's my New Year's resolution. I am always trying to make myself a better person, and I'm going to do that, including listening to what you say, not just watching your mouth move, but actually hearing the words. Anyway, back to my subject at hand. These absorber towels are expensive, I'm sure. I didn't get to look at the price, but I can tell they are so well made, really well put together. But I was having a difficult time managing with all of the absorber towel. There seems to be quite a bit of absorber towel. And if I was doing bigger dogs, like today I'm doing a Leonberger, and maybe I will have wished that I had the full towel size there, but it was killing my hands already to wring them out. And I found that my tub is pretty high up. It's actually waist high, and I can put the absorber towel on the floor of my tub and push it down with my mashed potato smasher or my hands, whichever works best. But somebody online, I think it was Katie in England, who mentioned that they had cut their absorber towel in half. And for me, I thought, oh, pshaw, that isn't going to make any difference. It's still as thick as it is. It's still going to be hard to wring. Not the case. Super duper easy to wring out when they're cut in half. I didn't even think about my hands the whole day I used it. But the amount of water that comes out, I feel like the ShamWow guy. I took a bucket and I took the water out of the dog and I put it in the bucket and I was blown away at the amount of, but that's not all, Barbara. The dogs are drying faster for me. The mechanical removal of the water is making a dramatic difference in my ability to get the dogs dry. And I have you to thank, and I have the absorber towel people to thank, and thanks, and they're going to come on as a sponsor. So I can't wait to get your absorber towels to you, but I've been trying to park at the stupid post office with my trailer and I haven't been able to get in there. But as soon as I can get them to you, cut them in half. She will use them if they're cut in half.
I may have, I know I have some, maybe not the absorber, but I have some automotive towels, very similar. It's actually a PPG type fabric. Yeah, it's a polyethylene glycol type fabric, just like we have polyethylene glycol ingredients. It's just in the form of a plastic kind of towel. Yeah, I think I have some other ones. I might check and see if any of them are still good, and I might start at least introducing, just soak them real good. I'll start introducing her to the concept, and then we can compare to, that would be a good thing. Okay.
It was fun. And even though they feel kind of weird, they feel like a cross between a leather chamois and a sponge.
Yeah.
And like they almost feel like you could tear them, but you can't. They're very, very durable. Just twist it off and it's just much easier with the half of one. And man, you get a lot of water off. So that is very exciting. The other thing that I wanted to mention to everyone is just a little prep talk on dryer filters and motors. Now, all of the motors that we use are air cooled. So they need to have air circulating amongst the motor to make it last and give it its life. If you choke it off with hair and such, it's going to have a much shorter life. The stuff that we build for the grooming industry, like I'm building it. I don't know when I've been building stuff. The stuff that is built for us, especially the stuff that's built in the United States or assembled in the United States, is put together with replaceable parts. Everything from our clippers all the way up to our big clipper vac systems all have replaceable parts. Don't be afraid to take the screws out and have a look-see in there. Just explore around a little bit, you know. Don't throw it or anything, but you have an opportunity to clean your own hair out and not have to pay someone like my husband, who then comes in with a needle nose plier and hemostats and pulls all the hair out. You're paying him skilled labor time to pull the hair out of your dryer. If you guys pay attention to the intake where the air comes into your motor, the air comes into your dryer or your clipper vac or whatever it is you're using, keep that filter clean. You should be able to see through it. If you can't see through it, even after you vacuum it, throw it away and get another filter. If you want to be safe, just change those filters out every other month. Your equipment will last a lifetime, and don't be afraid to peek in there. Okay, that's your public service announcement. Barbara, how was your week?
Oh, I didn't clean my dryers, that's for sure. I think that I'm impressed. Good lecture. Good lecture, Susie. I am going to go check on my dryers first thing. Yeah, that's a priority. I'm very bad about that. I am not quite a total opposite from you. I talk a good regime, but I don't act on it. And what I notice is that the canister dryers that sit on the floor and they have a back end with a filter and then out of the front end comes the hose, that they tend to get backed up against the wall, so there's very poor air circulation there. And then you wonder, dryer ain't working so well anymore. Well, it's got to have that air to circulate through to have the power out the front.
It's sucking really strong, and the closer to the wall, the more likely you are sucking hair particulates in there, because there's not enough room for hair particulates and air to pass through.
There's hair particulates everywhere. That's another thing. You know, you could always wear a mask.
Yeah, that would be smart.
Yeah, I know. And, you know, like, try to get an employee to wear a freaking mask. It's hard to get people to change their habits when it affects their appearance. Even if they're not caring about their appearance in any other damn way, why all of a sudden I can't breathe with one of those things on?
My glasses fog up.
Yeah.
I'm trying to figure out how to solve that problem. I mean, I push them off my nose and then I can't really see out of them. That's my problem with the mask, but I still wear one a lot of the time.
Yeah, I rarely wear one. I've got the cloth ones I think really do work a little better, and they're less suffocating, but they are a little bit warm in the summer.
Well, you're not drying dogs in a closet.
Yeah, and that's where Jody Murphy had her problem. It wasn't just that she was drying dogs without a mask, but she was drying dogs in a small mobile unit. Mobile people have to be way more conscious, mindful of their air. And now the subject is air. We went from the
boy, we are all over the board today. Anything you want to tell us about your week, or shall we go right on?
No, but I am going to remind people that one of the reasons that we want to remove as much water mechanically from the dogs before we start blow drying or any other form of drying is that not only do they dry faster, but you're not blowing all of that moisture into the air, which then the humidity hampers the drying. So there you go. It's all related, you know?
Cool. Okay.
Well, another thing that helps me with the Schlienberger is my Best Shot products. And we're just going to take a quick moment to hear from Best Shot. And then we're going to come back and talk about an old English sheepdog that lives in Sydney, Australia.
Oh, all right.
You know, groomers, your salon runs on shampoo and conditioner. And what you choose to bathe with can make or break the quality of your work, productivity, your health, and even your career. Sure, there's a ton of shampoo lines to choose from, but if you haven't tried Best Shot's innovative systems, you may be working too hard. You owe it to yourself to check out bestshotpet.com. Discover firsthand why so many groomers rely on their trusted mastery of coat care chemistry. That's bestshotpet.com. Learn more about using their three-step system and how Best Shot mindfully formulates using advanced grooming technologies, combining the very best nature and science has to offer. Whether it's their three-step system, the one-shot odor annihilator, Ultramax Pro Line, MED skin treatments, or the amazingly aromatic and fun Sentiment Spa Collection, Best Shot has something tailored just for groomers that really works. For over 25 years, Best Shot has lived up to its claim to get dirty jobs done right, so you can start making masterpieces out of nightmares in record time. What are you waiting for? Contact your favorite distributor or catalog and get some Best Shot today. I love them.
Ready, groomers? Here comes our first appointment.
Australia, I loved Sydney.
I lived in Sydney for a little while. I was there for 6 months. No, I was there for 1 month. I lived 5 months in Perth and 1 month in Sydney, just up the street from the beach. I looked at it on Google Maps the other day, and I looked at the apartment building. It's still there, although it looks like the neighborhood has been updated a little bit. It was a gazillion-year-old five-floor walk-up, and we lived on the top of it, and you could see Bondi Beach. Oh, it was cool. Anyway, I digress.
Moving right along, yeah.
Yes. So, Jessica from Sydney, she asked on Facebook, can anyone help me with some products? I have a client with a full-coated 10-month-old Old English Sheepdog, and I'm having real dramas with the coat change. At the moment, they are coming every fortnight for a bath, pin brush, and comb out. This is taking me about 4 hours or so from start to finish. I can't believe how matted he is getting in between visits. I'm using Secret Weapon shampoo and a silicone-based conditioner, as well as conditioning spray while I'm brushing and drying. Any advice would be greatly appreciated. All right, what do you think?
I think that by the time the dog is 11 months old, grooming damage, everything that we do causes damage to the hair. Everything. The shampooing, the drying, toweling, brushing and combing, all of that stuff does damage to the hair. By the time the dog is 11 months old, there's an accumulation of damage to the puppy coat. As well as when the puppy coat starts, the coat change, just what does that involve? It usually involves the loss of the softer, finer, kind of actually easier to groom hair, and the onset of having the adult coarser. Actually, the adult hair is usually a little fatter of a hair follicle or of a hair shaft. I don't know.
Also, the undercoat comes in, too.
It all changes. I think that we oversimplify when we say that it's a problem with the adult coat coming in. It doesn't happen to all dogs. Everybody is a freaking individual, and there's going to be good OES coats and not-so-good OES coats. It's just like with Wheaton Terriers. There are Wheaton Terriers that are like fine with a monthly grooming and a good comb out once a month. There are Wheaton Terriers that will mat every week. It's a similar kind of thing. A lot of it has to do with the texture of the coat.
You won't know where it's going to end up till it becomes adult coat, though. You've still got to struggle through this period.
But see, I think that by increasing the grooming. You know, like, okay, so we'll do it weekly. Well, it's still matting up. Well, we'll do it every other day. Well, it's still matting up. Well, we'll do it every day. You're just like throwing more of the same thing at it, all of which causes damage. I'm going to say that I'm starting to have a little bit change of position about home grooming and daily grooming and weekly grooming, because I'm starting to realize that that could be causing more damage. You know, now I think that this groomer has a good choice of products. I like that she's using the Pro Groom silicone spray, that she's spraying that into the coat. I'm wondering if what the dog needs is a complete comb out at home once a week. See, I don't go for this everyday brushing because especially if it's the owners, and let's say they pick up a slicker brush and they're just banging that brush against the hair shafts. Do you know what I'm saying, Susie? They don't have any technique. They have no finesse in using a brush. Slicker brushes can cause a lot of damage. They're not using a misting spray. That coat should be sprayed and combed with as little brushing as you can get away with.
Somewhere in the middle of the last year or two, probably 2 years of doing the podcast, I started to notice my overzealous right before the grooming, especially brush outs from my owners. And I could see where they were trying to struggle with and how much damage was in areas and then how little damage there was in other areas. I can attest to it through personal observation that I'd say probably 80 to 85% of the owners should not own a slicker brush and they shouldn't be doing daily brushing in any way. Combing maybe, but definitely not brushing.
One of the things that I'm starting to appreciate is that the shampooing itself is part of what can cause the damage. And I'm going to read something from a really technical review of what the hair scientists know about hair cleansing and damaging, okay?
My ears are open.
And this is in a book by C.R. Robbins, R-O-B-I-N-S, R-O-B-B-I-N-S. He's one of the most renowned hair scientists, right?
I've not met him myself, but I'm going to take your word for that.
Yeah, I've not met him either. But you know what? I keep running into him in my depths of the hair pond, right? My own attempts to understand on this little, it's a chapter out of his book, has just tossed me into a real challenging area. He's way beyond me in much of this book. See, this is about what it takes for me to learn like cosmetic chemistry to the point that I know it. I just have to read something many, many times. My ability to understand some of this technical material is gradually increasing, but it takes a lot to be able to absorb or understand the real technical crap, but it's fascinating. Hair damage is the chemical and or physical breakdown or removal of structural components or parts of hair. Isn't that sounds like a hair is a freaking engine or something?
Yeah.
Or the removal of structural components or parts of hair that either weaken it or make it more vulnerable to chemical or mechanical breakdown. Such damage occurs in shampooing and everyday grooming actions.
That's not good.
Sunlight, pool water, cosmetic products such as waves, bleaches, straighteners, and dyes alter hair. Okay? Now, let me read this. This is about the shampoos. Shampoos can damage hair by erosion/erosion and deformation during the shampoo process itself. When hairs are rubbed against each other or when deformed by bending, torsion, and stretching while lathering, foam, or while combing or towel drying, or even when blow drying. Shampoos, this is talking about human hair, so their idea of blow drying is a little bit different than our idea of blow drying, which
a little more gentle.
Yes, except that you're either sitting under pretty hot heat or they're brushing while they're drying, you know.
For sure, hot.
Yeah, it's different. But here again, everything makes a difference. Everything makes a difference. Every time a person shampoos or conditions their hair, they either comb it or brush it. Therefore, combing and brushing of hair and the resultant damage from these actions should be considered a part of the shampoo and hair conditioning processes. Okay, so So here's this guy, Okamura. None of his scientist friends suggested that a large amount of cuticle damage occurs in the lathering step during the actual shampooing of hair when fibers are rubbed against each other in the presence of detergents. Oh, man, hand bathing, right?
Yeah, hey. That's an advertisement for having a recirculating bathing
system. It is a huge advertisement, huge reason to get your hands out of the hair. I'm going to read it again. Okamura suggested that a large amount of cuticle damage occurs in the lathering step during the actual shampooing of the hair when fibers are rubbed against each other in the presence of detergents.
It doesn't say here whether Jess is using a recirculator or not.
Yeah, I looked for that information, too, and I almost shot her off a message today, but I realized she's in Australia, which means she's not even getting up yet. There's this time thing. And here's another study. Kelly and Robinson concluded that shampooing and towel drying of hair also damages hair. Now, here's a selling point for the absorber. When you use the absorber, you don't rub with it, right? You just kind of squeeze the hair into it more action, right? Am I right, Susie?
Oh, for sure. It works like a sponge.
Yeah, it works like a sponge, so you don't just rub the surface, which is what's causing hair damage. So I would say for mechanical drying that the absorber is a really good suggestion to minimize hair damage. Oh, okay, so now here's another point. However, these scientists that we just talked about, Okamura and the other guy, Kelly and Robinson, suggest that combing and brushing damages hair more than the lathering step of shampooing, although lathering does cause some damage. And further, get this, brushing is more damaging than combing.
My hairdresser keeps telling me that.
They have also shown that cuticle loss is greater from wet combing than from dry combing. But in their analysis, they did not consider whether some parts of the fiber are more vulnerable than other parts. This guy Robbins makes a point that when you have a coat, let's say like a full Old English sheepdog long coat, or like an Afghan hound coat, or like a bearded collie coat, a full drop coat that takes a couple of years to come in, that there's going to be significantly more damage on the outer third of the hair than on inside next to the skin of the fresher, more juvenile hair, right?
Right.
Yeah, good for you.
What you guys don't know.
Yeah, you know, I've been talking to the wall. Well, Susie went in. Did you capture the bird? Is that what you did?
Yes, and I locked him up. He's naughty.
He was very active over there. I was watching him myself. See, I get to watch your bird. I thought, Jesus, he's in a mood today. Mood to
He's having some fun with his toys.
All right. Well, good boy. So that's just part of what can happen. And it's also important to know your product and your tools. First of all, I'm going to make a supposition or an assertion that by 11 months of age, and if there's been matting and a lot of dematting, because when we demat, we cause breakage. Those weakened hairs that might be just like hanging in there and they look all right from our naked eye, they're like compromised to the point that they're easily fractured and broken. So that as we break more of that hair by heavily dematting it once a month, we're just setting it up. What doesn't break gets really rough cuticle with a big gouge here and there, and those kinds of hair cuticles, they just want to snag together into more mats, and so it's a pretty difficult process. And then you have the fact that the finer puppy coat hairs are shedding out and becoming loose in the coat. As long as hair is all in alignment, you're going to have less damage and less. And of course, when it's all in alignment, it's not knotted, right? It's not knotted. So,
my question is, the only solution at this point to take the hair off?
Not necessarily. It may come to that if they can't stop the matting. I would try to look at what tools are being used, what tools and techniques are being used, both professionally and at home.
Pin brush followed by a comb to separate the knots. That's what she's been doing.
I think she's been doing the right thing. But there may be some grooming going on, or there may be some activity that's causing the hair to rub up against each other. I mean, is that every time the dog moves, the hair moves. You know, and so is there static electricity in the home? That's a question, because static electricity causes the hair to kind of stand out and snag itself.
Yeah, I'm a proponent of taking it down sooner rather than later, so you can start out afresh rather than taking a young dog and continually trying to brush it out every week. But that's just me.
And I think that there's a humane consideration too. This dog has a lifetime of grooming ahead of it. And if you're dematting, and even at its best, dematting is somewhat stressful on the dog. Even when you're being mindful and not tugging and you're holding the mat in your hand and not letting the skin pull and all of that, it's just too tantamount, too possible to create a negative attitude towards grooming in the dog. And you don't want to
especially
do that.
Especially an Old English Sheepdog.
Yeah, especially an Old English Sheepdog. I mean, that dog's going to have a massive amount of coat and grooming from now on. Do you really want to start off the first few months of professional grooming having it be uncomfortable and even mildly painful?
One of the things we don't know about the situation is, do the owners want the dog to continue to have full coat? Because if they're not looking to keep the dog in full coat, I would find an appropriate length comb to set the length of the dog. Because it's Australia, you don't want the dog to be naked. You don't want to have to shave the dog completely naked. But if you've got it detangled at this point, maybe come up with an appropriate length of comb that you can keep the dog in so his skin isn't exposed to that horrible heat. Oh my gosh. In Australia in the sun. Yet it's manageable, so there doesn't need to be help from home. That might be a little more harm than help.
I'm ambivalent because I have two things. On the one hand, I'm thinking about the practical side of it, which is kind of where Susie is at. On the other hand, I'm an old show dog person, and I have a real high value for saving the coat. However, I have come to realize that sometimes if you're doing so much dematting in order to save the coat, you're really in a downward spiral. I've been there and done that. I even did a 3-piece blog on saving Farfel, you know, which was a bearded collie that came to me and they didn't want him shaved down. But you know what? They probably ended up going somewhere else and having that dog shaved down because getting him out of his original condition was caused so much damage, they just matted right back up. And we were constantly faced again with the decision of, shall I clip him down or not? Now, the real issue here is, were they planning on showing this dog? Do they have a breeder? What does a breeder say? Why don't we ever hear about what the breeder says about change of coat and how to manage your way through it?
Maybe we've got somebody on our group that has some experience with that kind of coat change. And I know we had plenty of opinions that came out about what to do about it. But how about some opinions about the actual coat change itself? I like it. Okay, are we good?
I guess we're good. I could ramble on and on, but I think I've made my point. It's everything. It's everything that you do. You need to evaluate everything. Are you hand massaging? Are you rubbing the coat with towels? Anything that you're doing, you need to take a look at the overall life of this dog's coat and see what are all the factors. Here's another thing. Sometimes if we treat a coat, there's such a thing as too much moisturization. If the coat starts soaking up a lot of moisture because it's porous, because it's damaged, it can then swell up from the inside and split the hair cuticle inside out, and then you have hair damage from too much moisture. Boy, there's so much to consider that I never, ever thought about in all the days that I had Laza Opsos before I was a groomer. I wish I knew then.
I think to sum it all up, the thing that we learned most from this segment is that Susie will shave the hair shorter than Barbara will. Okay, let's take a quick break, and we'll be back very quickly, and we're going to talk about green grooming. Our hands are money makers. We rely on them. How long we last in this career is dependent on how well we care for our hands. Evolution shears were engineered to be the most ergonomic shears out there. They were designed by a team of groomers, sharpeners, and medical professionals with comfort in mind. They started with the observation that all hands were not created equal. In fact, they are all unique and have different needs. Evolution shears are fully customizable with adjustable sizing and your choice of fixed ring, single, or double swivels. I recommend the double swivels. They're my personal favorites. Evolution shears work with your thumb in its natural position, making scissoring in all directions a pleasure. They are made to prevent repetitive stress injuries that occur due to scissoring and keep you from grooming. Lastly, they use high-quality materials but are affordable. They come in curves, straights, thinners, and chunkers, and in a variety of lengths and edges. A good thing for those of us with scissor addictions. There is a learning curve, but don't worry. The staff at Evolution will hold your hand through the whole process. Their customer service is tip-top. You can put your hands on a pair of Evolution shears and say hi to Abby, Ron, and our favorite salesperson, Chris Anthony, at many of the grooming shows. But if you're in a hurry, and you should be, go online to evolutionshears.com or call them at 877-560-3057 and buy yourself a pair or two. Be sure to ask for Chris because she'll take great care of you. But wait, if you act now... Okay, you don't have to act right now. But mention the Groom Pod when you place your order, or put Groom Pod in the coupon code on the Evolution website, and you will receive $10 off each pair of shears. How cool is that?
Groomers, take your seats. School is about to begin.
Definition du jour time. Remember a few weeks ago, Barbara, I got rousted in the park for having no gray water tank and having a little bit of soap suds on the ground underneath my grooming trailer at the very fancy park in Lake Washington where my client was getting their hair cut. So this is a great topic for me. So let's talk a little bit about our environmental impact.
I like to think of this also very holistically. This year, I'm big about sustainability. I'm going to read this. This is a corporate statement from a chemical supplier, okay? They make silicone products, okay? But they say, we believe that every person and every company needs to consider their impact on our planet. Everything we do has implications for all other people and for all of the animals and plants that also call Earth home. Whether we burn fossil fuels by driving cars, traveling by train, or heating homes, consume electricity that is generated by burning fossil fuels or damming rivers, or consume food and other goods that require fertilizers, cutting down forests, or eroding soils, virtually every action negatively impacts the Earth.
Very true.
Boy, that just like really casts a wide frame for you to look at your grooming practices and what is their impact, you know, and what can you do to maybe lessen your negative impact of your business and your life, right? Fuck.
One of the things that both Barbara and I feel pretty, well, maybe I feel stronger about it than you do, but I feel pretty strong about it, is the water bottles. Water bottles while you're at work, when you're standing next to somewhere that you could have filtered water instead of a water bottle, have a reusable water bottle. Because I think that's a bigger impact than my soap suds on the ground in the parking lot of the park was. But that's just me. I do use good biodegradable products, and I get that. And I had a bucket, but it overflowed. That's how I ended up getting busted, is I set a bucket underneath my drain, but I used too much water and it overflowed. Otherwise, I probably would have gotten away with it, although they still weren't very happy with me having a business in the public park. But yes, anyway, I digress.
I don't remember you sharing this. So here I am holding my water bottle. And I will say that I'm a good recycler, and my community recycles plastic bottles. What gripes my grits are when people put the wrong kind of trash in the recyclables and contaminate the recyclables so badly that they can't be utilized, or fucking China sends them back.
Yes, that is extremely frustrating. So let me tell you briefly what happened. So I have a client that moved onto their yacht, their boat. I call it a boat.
Oh, and now I'm beginning to remember that there was a yacht involved.
Yes, and they were getting a haircut in their old neighborhood. So instead of me meeting them at the boat launch where the boat is moored, I went to the old neighborhood and I had to just park in a random spot. Well, they were very close to a park that's on the water. The parking spot is not on the water. It's up a little bit, but still close enough. And there's drains and stuff, although none of my stuff ever made it to the drain because I had the bucket and I poured it into the dirt and I let it filter through that way. But a little bit did overflow, and I was working away, and all of a sudden I felt a knock on the door, and I opened up the door, and the Parks Department guy was there, and he was questioning what I was doing, and he said, you can't run a business here, and you can't be spilling whatever the substance is all over the parking lot. Mind you, it wasn't all over the parking lot, but I got the message, and I just very politely said, oh, I'm so sorry. I thought I didn't realize my bucket had overflowed. I will take care of it, and I'll move right away. I put the dog in the car, and I moved across the street where I wasn't in the public park, and then no problem. But that was the scenario. But he was so concerned about the little bit of shampoo mixed with water that I had rinsed off the dog that had overflowed off of the big bucket I had underneath my drain. Anyway, that's what happened.
Yeah, see, and you live in the Seattle area, which is probably high on the level of planet consciousness to ridiculous extremes, right?
A little bit.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I know. We're a little bit less extreme here in Tucson, but what I have to consider here in the desert is my water usage. When you're living in a state where there's a lot of like free water, rivers and lakes and the ocean and that kind of stuff.
And rain.
Yeah, thank you. You don't think of water in the same way as you should think about water in the desert. And here again, it's a selling point for the Bathing Beauty Recirculating System that you don't use so much water. For dog grooming, please, you know. It's not that we don't deserve clean animals and all of that, but on the overall scale, we should be trying to minimize our use of water.
Well, how much of the stuff that we're using in shampoos really is going to damage the environment in the level that I'm using it in a diluted recirculating bathing system? Is that really a concern? Do I need to be cautious about that?
So what we get down to is what's happening with the water? That is it draining out of the bottom of your trailer into a bucket?
Yes.
And then what do you do with the bucket? You dump it in the sand?
Yes, or the grass or the gravel. Yes, but most of the time it just drops straight out onto the street where it goes a little bit and then gets diluted by gallons and gallons of rain coming out of the sky.
Got it. How you dump your water is certainly a factor that you would want to consider. I do not think that any of our products in the diluted form that we use them, and when they're rinsed, they're diluted much more. I don't think that those products offer any harm to aquatic animals or the earth, okay? Because even our silicones are ultimately, they're not biodegradable, because that means that the biology can, like worms and stuff can eat them,
yeah.
You know? Silicones are not biodegradable, but they do degenerate and degrade and ultimately return to sand if you leave them in the environment in a liquid form.
My thought on that is make sure your cars are not leaking oil on the ground, because that is far more pollutive and far more icky than your dog shampoo, my opinion. And
right.
It drives me crazy that the guy comes up and bothers me about what 2 ounces of shampoo diluted in 4 gallons of water when the guy parked next to me has an oil leak. It's absurd. It's a little absurd.
Yeah, that's absurd. That's absurd. I agree totally.
Okay.
I just don't think that he has the reason to be comparative or to think things through. He's just acting on some kind of a knee-jerk park protection motivation. He's not thinking through.
If he said, you're not allowed to have a business in the park, I need you to move, I would not be talking about this 2 weeks later. But because he was focused on the 10 soap sud bubbles that were left underneath my trailer and not the fact that I was, there was nobody parked in the park. I was by myself. There wasn't someone complaining. I don't know what happened, but I, of course, and I advise this to everybody. If someone comes up to you and they're an official and they have a problem with what you're doing, move. Don't argue with them. Don't tell them they're wrong. Don't give them your opinion. Apologize and move. And that's what I did. I apologized and I moved.
Right. And I acknowledge you for that. Because, and then you chewed on it for 2 weeks.
God, I'm so late. Like I said earlier today, sometimes I even annoy myself.
Let it go.
Yeah, okay. I'll let it go.
The guy was just doing his freaking job.
I know.
It doesn't help that you probably were an eyesore.
Oh, for sure. Absolutely. I would not choose to meet them in that neighborhood because it's very difficult to park. But, you know, it was Christmas Eve. I wanted to get the dog clean. So there you go.
So you're in the right, but I... Okay. Know. Anyway, so to what extent does green grooming affect your product choice?
I am fairly thoughtful about what I choose. I'm more thoughtful about how much of it I use over the exact ingredients I'm choosing.
I am the same way. I am so results focused, and I just don't take other people's word that something is harmful to the environment or to people or pets. I want that to be factually based.
Well, where do you think we can make the biggest impact? The water bottle thing's a big impact. The amount of water you use, the amount of shampoo, what kind of shampoo. Oh, maybe in how much electricity you use. Maybe that would be another
one.
Well,
electricity, yeah. Amount of electricity. And of course, the amount of electricity that I use goes up exponentially.
It might even go up exponentially.
In the summer. Yeah, thank you. I've always said that, exponentially, and then I can't figure out how do I spell it, you know? So that's just one of those words. I probably started misstating it when I was like 14 years old or something.
Anything else we should think about? I can't think of anything else, really.
Yeah, shampoo bottles. You want to talk about water bottles. Shampoo bottles are jugs. I suppose if you buy those big 5-gallon jugs, you're cutting down on your use of plastics. But see, again, I don't worry about that so much because we can rinse out and recycle plastic jugs. And I know that people like Sandy at Show Season are thinking and trying to find ways to package the products that are not plastic jugs. It's in the future, but it's not here yet.
Here's one that tortures me every single day I go to work. The garbage bags.
Yeah.
Whether to throw away the garbage when it's 3/4 full just because there's dog poop wrapped up in poop bags, or whether to let it fill up and then accidentally blow the dog hair that's in the garbage sack out into the inside of the trailer. I mean, I feel horrible guilt throwing a big garbage sack away without it being full, and yet I do it a little more often than I would like. So I have taken to buying the biodegradable bags. The garbage men want it in bags. Otherwise, I wouldn't put it in a bag because I think it's awful. But that's another area in which I try to be more considerate and thoughtful.
I think you can buy garbage bags that are already recycled.
Yes, that too. Consumer Recycling Post.
So that helps a little bit.
Yep.
You know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hadn't thought about that because I don't need to bag my garbage.
Oh, we do.
Because I have a garbage bin and a recycling bin that I rent from the city. And I just fill them up and put them out at the curb and off it goes. I have a horrendous amount of plastic grocery bags.
Oh, yeah.
And even though I have reusable bags, I forget them and don't put them in the car. Or I put them in the car and still don't walk into the store with them. Or, you know, like, and I have bags full of bags all around my house. And finally, Yvonne will take them and she tells me that she recycles them, but I strongly suspect that she's just tossing them in her garbage.
Our grocery stores here will take the grocery bags for recycling, but all of that stuff is all in question now because China's changed what they'll take from us, and it really makes things more difficult. So the best way to affect your environment is to use less, to reuse the stuff you do use, and just be thoughtful and mindful about it all, to quote our friend Dave Campanella. All right. So, Barbara, what's new over at show season? I got an inkling. A little bird told me there might be something coming down the pipeline. What is it?
Yeah, I'm excited because show season now has hemp conditioner. So we've already reviewed and appreciated the hemp shampoo that they have. It's a non-sulfate shampoo, seems to be very mindfully formulated. And in the past, what we would do if we wanted to have additional conditioning, more serious conditioning, we would use their hypo conditioner. But now they have a conditioner that's been formulated to match up with the hemp shampoo made by the same formulator. So that's exciting. I'm looking forward to trying that. I just got wind of it. So we'll try some out and get back to you on that.
I love this about show season. They're always looking for ways to better the products. They're looking for new things they can infuse in there. They're so willing to work with our ideas, and they're just great people over there, aren't they?
They really are, and they really do listen to groomers, and they're always upgrading and improving and adding to, and if there's a certain fragrance that you just got to have in a shampoo, you need to tell them about it.
Yeah, that's cool because they are also environmentally thoughtful, and they're trying to keep their local sources, and yeah, no, they're great people. And if you guys want to support a great company like Show Season that supports the Groom Pod, you can do so by going to their website, showseasongrooming.com. And if you haven't already, set up your wholesale account and do that on the phone. Their phone number is 678-382-0218, or email if you already have their setup. But really, they're at lots of local distributors. They're all over the place. I think that they're at Groomers Mart, but I know that they're at Cascade Grooming Supply.
Customer service problem? Let's talk about it at the reception desk.
Okay, I have an update, Barbara, on the doodle situation. The lady with the doodle with the long hair.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. So
they got another one.
Yeah, the lady with the doodle puppy, and then the 2-year-old doodle that I've been grooming since it was a puppy. And she's nice, and she combs. She actually combs. She doesn't brush. That dog has no hair damage. That's why I feel so guilty about the whole thing. She was a referral from a longtime client of mine, and I did that dog on Monday of this week, the referral dog, yeah. The dog that gave me the referral for the lady with the...
Oh, right. Yeah. Okay.
And
right.
She has one of those short-faced Shih Tzus that is a little bit of a challenge and delightful, and her Shih Tzu before it was perfect, and I like these people, and I have great communication, that being the key here. So I pulled up, and it was a little cold out, so I was warming my trailer up with my canine, too, letting that heat up because my wall heater's broken, and we haven't put the new one in, even though it's sitting downstairs on the dining room table. And I said, oh, my goodness, Ellen, I have this horrible problem. And I was very dramatic. Oh, I have a horrible problem. Woe is me. And Ellen comes up laughing. She goes, what's going on? And I said, I have to let Benny and Michelle go. I was there for 3.5 hours last time, 3 hours just basically drying the dog to get it finished. And it's not financially feasible. There's limitations to what I can do. And I would much rather do a bunch of Charlies rather than one Benny. And she says, oh, I totally get it. And I said, but the problem is I like Michelle and I'm really attached to the dog. And I'm not very good at letting people go or firing them or whatever you would want to call this, excommunicating, releasing them from our former future contract and all of that. And she goes, I'm going to talk to her in 10 minutes. Do you want me to just tell her? And I said, yes, please. Oh, yes, please. I will be ever so grateful. So she fired her for me. She fired her friend. But it's all good now. I feel no regret. I don't have to go to the next appointment. She excused me from that. I gave her a lovely referral to a local groomer who does most of the doodles in the area anyway, and everything was good. I could have done that like months ago. I don't know why I didn't do it months ago. I stress about these things and chew on them. I don't know. I guess I'm not happy unless I'm chewing on something in there in my little pea brain.
Well, we have to have things to chew on.
It's true.
You know, it's our nature. It's our nature. So
it's a happy ending, and the bigger happy ending is as of 4 days ago, I have health insurance, so hurrah.
Oh, man, that's huge.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, I'm so happy for you. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to go get my boobs squashed. It's been a while, you know. Probably need to get that checked.
I don't have to go anymore. Yeah, I don't need to go anymore. Okay, so...
All right, enough of that.
Enough of this.
Yes.
Are we done yet?
We're done. I got to go do that Leonberger and get Huckleberry in the car so he can get his little toes done and all. So, yeah. All right. Well, it's been fun, though, hasn't it? I love hanging out with you. Hey, oh, crap. You know what else we didn't do? We did not make a formal announcement. A thank you for the award. For the Grooming Industry Educators Award, Barbara won the Phoenix Award. And we should probably mention
woo,
it.
Woo.
Yes, and the Groom Pod won too. But more importantly, Barbara won the Phoenix Award. That is a huge deal to me. I'm so excited about it. It is recognition that is long deserved. So there you go. I just wanted to mention it before we left.
Well, thank you. I am totally psyched about that award. Yes, I needed it. I wanted it, and I got it. And not only that, I love the trophy. I have coveted it. Just kind of keeps me going. It's fueled me. Rocketed me into 2020.
Barbara and the Groom Pod gets trophies, so that's exciting.
Yeah.
We finally made it. Yep. I guess we can move on with our lives, or at least our day. How's that?
Okay, well, I have things to do, and I know you do, too.
Yes.
It's hard to let it go.
Well, we not that
just,
hard.
We could just talk for another hour.
Okay. All right, thanks for being here. Happy grooming, everyone. We'll see you next week on the Groom Pod. Bye-bye now.
Okay, bye now.
Well, stylists, it's time to sweep up the hair, clean out the tub, and turn out the lights on another episode of the Groom Pod. Remember to join the discussion group and be part of the show by liking us on Facebook at the Groom Pod. You can find Barbara online at groomblog.blogspot.com and at her shopping site, www.shop.bbird.biz. You can email me at susy@thegroompod.com or barbara@thegroompod.com. Please tell all your friends about the show and leave comments and reviews anywhere that you can. And also, please support the sponsors of the show. They make it possible for us to continue on. So on behalf of Barbara Bird and myself, thanks for listening and see you real soon.